Source Trunk, your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Source Trunk episode 95, recorded on the 23rd of December 2013. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking selected open source software and give it a little test run. With this episode, I'll be drinking a Barbe Noire, which is a black beard, and it is one of the four Barbe beers, and I think I will be reviewing the three other ones as well shortly, because I discovered the Barbe Noire at a musical I was yesterday with my kids and wife, and I despise the, well, just the concept of a musical. I don't like it. It's singing and stage stuff at the same time, and every time they start to sing I just cringe a bit. And the first half was 2 hours. 2 hours of musical. It's agony. For me it's complete agony, but the kids like it and they really had a very good time. But I was in need of something really strong in the break. Luckily there was a break, and in between the 2 hours and the last hour I had to sit through the musical. And at the break there was the possibility of drink a Barbe Noire, and it was a delight. It is a very, very nice, strong, dark beer, a Belgian stout, a real nostalgic Belgian stout, and the color is black as night. I immediately fell in love with how the beer looked, and this beer is top fermented, of course, and it's pretty strong. It's 9.0 alcohol percentage, and its taste is just bitter and dense, and it smells of roasted malts. The Barbe Noire is something you should try to get at home, even if it is by mail or some online beer delivery shop. Well, it's worth your while. Try it out. I don't have a Barbe Noire with me because I just, well, discovered it yesterday. I still have to find a shop where I can drink the Barbe Noire, so I'll just have to settle for a Bavik dinner beer. Yes, I have to work tomorrow, so nothing too strong. If you remember, the Bavik dinner beer is just a not non-alcoholic but not very strong beer you can drink wherever you are dining. Okay, but enough about beer. I could have a sip, of course, but it's just the Bavik dinner beer, not at all the Barbe Noire, which was delightful. Okay, enough about beer. Let's go.
Educational software.
Scratch. What is it? I'll mention the site. With Scratch, you can program your own interactive stories, games, and animations, and share your creations with others in the online community. Scratch helps young people learn to think creatively, reason systematically, and work collaboratively. Essential skills for life in the 21st century. End quote. Okay, so it's a pretty big statement. First off, I'm going to keep this episode pretty short because, well, it's nearly Christmas and we still have to do a lot for Christmas Eve tomorrow. It is storming outside. It's 100 kilometers per hour, the wind speed. I hope you don't have too much problems with the audio quality, because it's difficult to keep the audio quality good with the kind of weather it is outside. So just to say, I'll keep it pretty short. But why, if I don't have the time, do I want to do an episode on Scratch now? Why now? Well, because the holidays are the exact moment that if you have children, or if you have nephews or nieces, or just young children, you know, you could, if they're interested, try to get them to program. And not because every kid has to be a programmer or has to grow up in IT, but because maybe some kids are really talented for this, and if they really like it, they can make a career out of it. But the difficult thing is to get youngsters to start programming. It's not easy to get them to program, because when you show them programming language, well, the first natural and good reaction is to run away screaming. You need something that makes it appealing, something with colors, something with blocks you can move on, and so on and so on. You need something that gives them a feeling of programming flow control without the programming bit. Some might remember Logo or Alice or Basic and so on. Well, Scratch is a bit the same idea, but it is even one step further. I'll explain. The best thing you can do is try out Scratch immediately out for yourself. And luckily, on the website of Scratch, you can just program, use the Scratch interface without downloading anything, just to see if it is something you'll like. As said, I'm not going to discuss too much Scratch. I'm not going to talk too much about Scratch. You really have to try it out, but I'll just try to explain how this works. Let's hop on over to the website of Scratch. It's on scratch.mit.edu, and there you can try it out immediately. When you click try it out, you're presented with, well, a programming environment, which looks a bit like a big box of Lego. You have all sorts of blocks you can use to start programming. It's a bit difficult to say it in an audio podcast, but I'll try anyway. On the left side, you have a little cat, and with the program control that is presented to you, with the flow that you can make, you can do stuff with the cat. For example, you have scripts, motion scripts, for example, and the first block we have is move 10 steps. So that's easy. We want to move the cat 10 steps. So I'll just drag the move 10 steps to my work area. Next thing I'll want to do is turn it 15 degrees. So I'll just drag a block underneath the move 10 steps block from earlier on. And instead of 15 degrees, I'll say 90 degrees. And I'll try it out just by clicking on the program. And there you go. My cat just moved 10 steps and turned 90 degrees. This already, for youngsters, is something amazing, or not at all. Maybe they're not interested and then just try a few more times and then just forget about it. But if they're already a bit interested and intrigued by how things work in a computer, they'll love this, because they are in complete control. They can make the cat do whatever they want. They have all these motion steps, all these motion blocks, and they can just use it. Not only motion scripts, but also looks scripts, so that it can say hello for 2 seconds, for example, or it could think, and then you'll have a little think balloon for 2 seconds. They can create their own animated cartoons if they want. They can change color effects and so on and so on. Of course, there as well sound scripts, so they can do all sorts of sound stuffs. They can use pens. They can have complete data sets, events. For example, when a user clicks on a certain area, then this piece of block has to be performed. When the space key or another key is pressed by the user who is watching the program, then you can have that and that and that block performed, and so on. And of course, then you have the control scripts, which, for example, gives you the possibility to wait 5 seconds or to repeat a complete set of blocks. There you go. You have your loops, forever loops, if-then conditions, if-then-else conditions, and so on and so on. It's made completely for youngsters. So don't be alarmed if you see all these colored blocks and you think this might be a bit too much Duplo and Lego for your 12-year-old or 11-year-old or, well, maybe 8-year-old. Once they get to program in this, they'll get the hang of it. And then if you want, you can just drop them in COBOL or C or whatever. Okay, I promised not to take too long. So that is all. In the web environment from scratch.mit.edu, you can create a program together with your kids or nephews and so on, and you can download your script. Or you can even share it with other people who are who belong to the Scratch community. Yes, that is something, another aspect of Scratch that is just perfect. It is completely in line with the open source idea. That means you can upload your program, and of course it's completely in open source. And other people can take your program and, well, just change it, make better stuff, change just the way like open source software works, but then in a mini, mini, colorful, fluffy environment. That also gives youngsters the idea that it is good to share code, that it is good to see what other people do, how they code, how they do stuff. That's why I wanted to talk about, and especially now, because some people will at least have 3 or 4 days they can spend with their kids. And if it really rains or snows, well, then you can make a snowman and just get inside with a cup of something and just program with the kids. Okay, so that's in a nutshell. You can read all about the history of Scratch. It is very interesting. I'm not going to bore you with it, but pretty important to know is that Scratch is big. It is used in schools, in museums, in universities. The community is humongous. It has over 402,000 users, over 4,200,000 projects. Every minute, more than one project, it's uploaded. I was amazed. I was, well, shamefully enough, I was presented to Scratch by a father who we're friends with because of we know their kids at school. And he said, well, you should try out Scratch. It's perfect. And I felt like such a lousy dad, because I should have known about this much, much, much sooner. And well, my oldest already has programmed a very nice program, and I think we will be continuing this holiday to program in Scratch. Okay, so that is it. That's it. The usage, well, of course, for my kids to try to get them a bit into programming if they don't like it and so on, then whatever. And of course also a little bit for myself, because I've bought myself an Arduino kit last year. It's still in the box, yes. Also for that I'm pretty ashamed. And apparently you can use Scratch to connect and program the Arduino. If you don't know what the Arduino is, well, just look it up. An Arduino is something you should have as well if you like to tinker. Getting back to my point, you can use Scratch and you can connect it to your Arduino and get your kids to program your Arduino device, to have it drive around, to, well, program the little sensors that it doesn't bump into things and stuff. All with the Scratch interface, all just by dragging the little program modules to their program. If you're interested in the Arduino connector to Scratch, you can hop over to s4a.cat. I'll put a link in the show notes for that as well. Of course, I will do my Arduino programming in C, but I think for the kids it might be interesting to see that they not only can program something that on their screen moves, but that even is embedded into a little device that will do stuff they command it to. It's perfect. Okay, the installation, I'll get back on that. The offer. The first version of Scratch was developed in 2003 by the Lifelong Kindergarten Group, led by Mitchell Resnick and the MIT Media Lab. There's also a video on the website of Scratch where Mitchell Resnick explains the benefit of Scratch for kids. Now, the availability. As said, you can just try it out on the website itself. Well, you really only need the website of mit.edu to have a really good time and just do everything you need to do, but maybe you would like to have it on your computer as a program. And 1.4 was included in all the Linux distros. Scratch 2.0 is not included because it is only in Flash. Yes, it has been completely rewritten in Adobe Flash for version 2.0, and that was it felt a bit strange that something so open and so how should we say it, so good to distribute to as much people as you can would be, well, just a bit trapped in an Adobe Flash environment, which just is a bit well, okay. So if you want to use it as a standalone application, you need Adobe Air on your machine. Luckily, when I hopped on the Scratch discussion boards, I saw a lot of topics for people asking to help with the HTML5 version. Of course, there is an HTML5 version in the make. So if you're a programmer, and you don't need Scratch to learn to program, then you can hop on over to Scratch website to see if you can help out with the HTML5 application that is now in the make. Okay, you can get it from scratch.mit.edu, and the license is GPL version 2 and Scratch source code license. You can support it by going to scratch.mit.edu/info/donate. Also there I will put a link in the show note. Okay, I still managed to go over the 15 minute mark. Horrible. Okay, Android Pick. You can try out the GitHub Android application if you are interested in using GitHub from your Android device. Okay, let's wrap it up. I got a word from MuseCore that their Kickstarter Bri project is funded. They had a Kickstarter project, which, if you remember MuseCore, which is the musical score application, which is perfect if you are learning music, but they had a Kickstarter project where they will introduce the Bri edition for blind musicians, and that I'll put a link in the show notes as well. That was successfully funded on November the 9th. If you're a Mac user and you listen to this podcast via the iTunes music store, well, I got a mail from the iTunes podcast team from Apple. Dear podcast provider, submitting a podcast will be temporarily unavailable from Saturday, December 21st to Friday, December 27th. Apparently, Apple is going away for the holidays as well. So if you have this podcast way over December the 27th, my apologies, but well, there's nothing we can do about a company that's probably overwhelmed by distributing phones and stuff. Okay, have yourselves a very nice Christmas. If you are not celebrating Christmas as we celebrate it, well, anyway, have yourself a very nice Christmas, and I hope you will all make it safely through the holiday chaos. Leave your comments on sourcestring.com or mail me directly via sourcestring@gmail.com. You can also find me as GNU Dimi on Identica, Twitter and Google+. I'll be leaving you with a bit of a, well, really Christmas spirit song. I couldn't resist. I'm leaving you with Can't Wait to See You on Christmas Day by Irene B. Thanks for your time, and good hunting. The smoke is falling down.
Christmas, everybody.